This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Coming up in today's show, we'll talk about the history of the All-Star Game and take a look at this year's lineup. Starting us off this afternoon, you don't have to be a fan of cable news shows to know liberals and conservatives have very different ways of looking at the world. New findings from three separate studies link a person's political ideology and their self-control performance, with conservatives demonstrating greater self-control than liberals. Joining us for more details are the researchers who conducted the studies from the University of Cincinnati Lindner College of Business, Dr. Joshua John Clarkson, Assistant Professor of Marketing, and Dr. Frank Curtis, is it Frank? Okay, that's correct. The Donald E. Weston Professor of Marketing, and Dr. Edward Hurt, who's professor at the Indiana University Department of Psychological and Brain Science. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And thanks to all of you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Joshua, tell us about why you conducted these studies.
That's a really good question. You know, when you're talking to your listeners out there, I mean, this notion of self-control, this is something that, you know, we struggle with on a daily basis. These are things that are also very, very central to our culture, right? We have New Year's resolutions. We have these things of ways of getting better as people, right? Setting goals and such. And then also we have this broad literature on political ideology and the way people express themselves in their political views, which seem to represent sort of core values and beliefs that individuals have. But relatively little is known about how these domains or these streams interact. I mean, we really don't have a very good insight into the manner in which conservatives and liberals engage in some of these things like goal pursuit, right? Fundamental processes that really help our human behavior on a daily basis.
Very much. And so we are primarily people who do work in self-control and have been really interested in sort of the processes that underlie it. But also there's some people we know are better, right? We know there's some people out there who seem to put a goal in mind and are able to execute it, and other people who struggle with dieting, with ability to do any number of different kinds of self-control tasks that we grapple with every day.
Ed, what universities were made up the research team?
Indiana University, we had researchers obviously from University of Cincinnati, where Josh and Frank are from. We had people at
St. Louis University and University of North Florida down in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And what was the political mix of this whole team?
The whole range.
The whole range.
From very conservative to very liberal.
Even apathetic. We had someone apathetic.
apathetic. I didn't know that was a political ideology.
Yeah. And we rolled them out.
So, Frank, to be clear, and you all can chime in on this, but you weren't setting out to say that conservatives were superior with this research.
This is just the way it turned out. And in fact, in some of the follow-up research we want to do, we want to determine what type of tasks conservatives are good at and what type of tasks liberals are good at. And we do have some ideas along those lines. We've been reading a lot of work by Professor Art Markman at the University of Texas, Austin. And he says there's two main types of cognitive tasks, exploratory tasks, which require people to be flexible, cognitively flexible, and think about multiple possible solutions to a problem, including decision problems, versus more persistence tasks where you repeat the same process over and over and over again. So we suspect that conservatives may be better at the persistence tasks and liberals may be better at exploratory tasks. But again, we also don't want to say there's just two kinds of people in the world. In all of our studies, we use a continuous measure of political ideology. And as you were saying earlier, if you're in the middle, all the effects go away for the centrists.
they go away? They don't mingle or anything like that? Really?
And so far in our research, that's what we find.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, in some ways too, Josh, you might say that the research says that the liberals are just more spontaneous and just more fun to be with.
You know, the way we address that question in our data is we tend to say that certainly could be the case, right? When you're looking at how you define persistence or attention regulation, you could say, well, somebody who is very focused, you could define them as someone who, well, maybe they're narrow-minded, at least in terms of the task that we're looking at. Alternatively, you could also say, well, also these are people who are just hyper-focused. These are people who have that laser beam focus that may reflect, as Frank was sort of alluding to, a bit of cognitive inflexibility, but that inflexibility really allows them to be those types of individuals that can persist and get the goal to some level of satisfaction, that can really make progress on some of these mm-hmm. broader goals that we're trying to get at. So,
now, well, let's talk about the three studies you conducted, how those were conducted. Study number one, how did that work, and what did it show you?
Yeah, so very simple, and we really wanted to get back to very simple basics with this, because we're going to try to test this idea. We want to make sure that we're studying using measures that sort of traditional, classic measures of self-control. And these are very cognitive indices of self-control, so very fundamental, right? So for instance, as a marketer, I could say, what about impulsivity? What about delayed gratification? These are all ways in which we look at self-control. But what we decided to look at was something called a Stroop task. It's a very cognitive task, and your listeners can Google it. It's Stroop, S-T-R-O-O-P. They can do it themselves. What the Stroop essentially does, there are many versions, but essentially what it does is imagine just being in front of a computer screen and imagine seeing a word. The word is going to be a color. So imagine the word yellow being in front of you. And when you see the word yellow, imagine that word yellow being written in blue font. Well, when it's written in blue font versus when it's written in yellow font, what we find is that in general, it's harder for people, takes them longer for them to actually recognize what the word is. So what we did is we had people across multiple universities. We had people, students in this case, complete 200 trials of these things just over and over again. And what we were looking at is how quickly were they able to identify the word. And we were really interested in those what we call incongruent trials. So when the word yellow is written in red, or when the word red is written in blue, right? And the nice thing is we were also able to get at, well, how are they being correct? Are they actually identifying the words correctly? And what we were able to find in that first study, which sets the stage for everything else, what we were able to find is on that very simple study, what we were able to find is that people who then afterwards indicated the extent, as Frank noted, on a continuum, a 7-point scale, how liberal versus how conservative are you? What we found is that conservatives were more likely to respond quicker. They were more likely to identify the words quicker.
Does that mean that they're more decisive?
So, and we know that decisiveness is linked to conservatism. We do know that as well.
And thoughtfulness, on the other hand, would be
exactly right.
Liberalism, okay.
Exactly, yep, exactly. And we're okay with that, because that's still consistent, because they're both still accurate. But in the end, what we're seeing is that they're still quicker to respond. And this isn't just over one trial, right? This is over multiple trials of doing this. So that was the first study that we actually ran in all.
So it was based on how fast they could identify those things.
Exactly.
And the yep. conservatives, for the most part, were identifying them quicker.
Exactly, right. Yes.
And this is surprisingly difficult to do. If you try it sometime, I think you'd be surprised. So it's easy if the word and the color are the same.
Right.
We call that a match. But if there's a mismatch, what happens is you get memory interference and it delays response times.
Now, what happened with study number two, Josh?
So in study number two, what we decided to do is we said, let me back up really quick. I apologize. So one of the things that we did in study one is we made sure we controlled for key demographics.
Okay.
So we know that there's a ton of things that are correlated and associated with
race,
ideology.
Gender, right? Socioeconomic mm-hmm. status.
Exactly, yes. Right? And so we controlled for all of that, and when we rule out all of that, we still see this ideology difference. So we're wondering, well, what is it about ideology in particular that's driving this self-control difference? And what we decided to focus on, what we actually show in this second study, is that and there are scales that assess this notion of what we call belief in free will. And it really gets to this notion or this idea that individuals vary in the extent to which they believe that they can control or are responsible for their own behavior. And what we were able to show in that study is, again, conservatives were able to respond faster, equal accuracy with liberals, but they were able to respond faster. They were equally motivated as well. But conservatives also believed that they were more responsible for their own behavior. And as a result of that, that increased endorsement or belief in free will helped drive that self-control performance effect. So we believe that what's really central here is this belief in the extent to which you believe that, or you endorse the fact that you are more or less responsible for your own behaviors.
That kind of I'm the captain of my own fate kind of viewpoint. That conservatives endorse that more, and as a result of that, tend to be able to be better at these kinds of self-control tasks because they believe they can control things.
Well, I can see how your belief in free will would even it would temper how you look at things like welfare and various issues like that as well.
That's right. Absolutely. Because, you know, one of the things I think that was most interesting to us was that I think you could think of many people's viewpoints of political conservatives is that they're kind of harsh to certain other people in society that can't do things for themselves. And so the question is, are they different or do they just extend this belief to other people? So this was an interesting thing, saying that they show some differences beyond the fact that they're pointing fingers at other people and, you know, and sort of attributing to them a lack of trying, a lack of, you know, ability to self-control, that they, if they can do it, maybe they extend to think everybody else should be like me and be able to do these things as effectively as I can.
Were the findings separated by age group? Did you look at the differences in how different age groups responded?
So we were able to look at, we just treated age just continuously, and we were able to look at age more generally. And again, we were more interested in controlling for it. So we didn't break it down with ideology. And we do actually see an age effect in study two. So we do actually see that as age increases, interestingly, self-control decreases. But that's the only study we actually show an age effect. But we didn't look at it as a function of ideology. So
What was study number three then?
So study three is really central to all of this because, again, as we've alluded to already, we were just set out to try to understand this relationship, if there was one, between people's ideology and their self-control behavior, right? And we're looking at these, again, at very, very cognitively focused indices of self-control. Study three, and again, the finding that we consistently see is that conservatives are showing on these hallmark indicators of self-control, persistence and attention regulation, we see that conservatives are essentially outperforming liberals. And again, we show that this is due to this belief in free will. What we really wanted to test was, well, if this is really about free will, is free will always a good thing? Is that belief always a good thing? So for instance, we were talking about dieting, right? So think about this as an example. Imagine your New Year's resolution, right? And you get to a point where you're about to embark on this resolution, you've given it a week and you're doing great, then all of a sudden, maybe it's dieting or going to exercise or something like that. Then all of a sudden, in-laws come in, something happens, you drive by the donut with Holtzman down here, right? You go by every time. I got to drive by that every day. That's a temptation, right? I know. It's tough, man. They're so great.
Life's hard.
But yeah, exactly, right? And now imagine I struggle. What if I stumble, right? What if all of a sudden I fall off of my goal, right? I'm not exhibiting self-control. Well, if you're sort of the captain of your own ship, as Ed referenced, right? Well, who do you have to blame for that? I mean, who do you have to blame if you're experiencing any sort of struggle or failure in any capacity? In our mind, it's like, well, gosh, maybe this belief in free will could elicit things like frustration, anxiety, even maybe shame, guilt. These are all negative emotions that impair self-control. And so what study three really did was we just wanted to look at a very basic level, this notion of, are people's beliefs in the efficacy of free will? In other words, does free will benefit self-control? Does that really drive this effect? And one of the things that we find is that when people believe that free will can actually undermine self-control, that free will could, as an example, elicit frustration or anxiety, that conservatives actually do worse than liberals on these tasks of self-control.
And we can talk more about that after the break here. We'll continue our conversation about political ideology and its link to self-control. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. My guests this afternoon are Dr. Joshua John Clarkson, Assistant Professor of Marketing at the University of Cincinnati Lindner College of Business, and Dr. Frank Cardis, Donald E. Weston Professor of Marketing at UC. and Dr. Edward Hurt, who's professor at the Indiana University Department of Psychological and Brain Science. And the research looks at the link between political ideology and self-control. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Josh, you were talking as we were going into the break about some of the twists that you threw into the research in terms of free will, because you planted a fake article to see if that would influence people's belief in free will, didn't you? Did you find that had an effect?
Yeah, and that's the thing that we found that was really interesting, because, you know, at the heart of this, any psychologist at the heart of this, we believe, especially social psychologists, we believe that anything can be moderated at any point in time. And so the notion that conservatives in and of themselves would demonstrate self-control, we wanted to explore some of those boundary effects to see, well, does this always happen? And in that study, what we really tried to look at was, okay, well, conservatives endorse this belief more so than liberals. Is it ever the case where that belief could get them into trouble? Is it ever the case that belief in free will could actually lead them to think that, gosh, maybe that's not such a good thing for self-control? Maybe that doesn't benefit my ability to self-regulate, right? No different than we see this in the sports arena all the time. You know, we talk about guys that are shooters, right? They're shooters. I'm thinking, sorry, I'm going this route, but I love it. I think it's fun. You know, Westbrook, one of these guys, he's a shooter. He's a scorer. Well, does he fit within the team mentality? So being a scorer is good, but in a team mentality, is that always good, right? And so one of the things that we were interested in is this idea that if you're feel that you're responsible for your own beliefs, does that actually affect, or can that actually affect in a negative way, the relationship you have between this belief in free will and self-control? And
so you gave them this article that planted mm-hmm. some seeds of doubt
yep.
about free will, and then what mm-hmm. happened?
Exactly.
What'd you find?
Well, depending on whether you can alter people to think that free will is a bad thing, that all of a sudden our results sort of flipped, and now all of a sudden liberals are outperforming conservatives. So it isn't the case that conservatives are always better. Yep. It isn't the case that they always execute self-control tasks more effectively. It is a function of what their beliefs about free will and the efficacy, as you said, or how effective free will is to help you execute these different self-control tasks.
But then, Ed, didn't you also, you reversed it just to make sure you were seeing this right. You put an article in front of people that promoted free will.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly you were back to what?
Right. The conservatives are outperforming yep. liberals, just like we found in those earlier yep. two studies. So it seems like that finding is sort of the default maybe.
Yeah.
That seems to be the generic effect that we get when we don't manipulate people. But if you actually reinforce that belief, it accentuates the difference, you know, between conservatives and liberals in a positive direction, but it isn't universal.
There's a classic philosophy of science idea that we all use in social psychology, that if you can't make an effect go away, you don't really understand it. So we put a lot of time and effort into really understanding the boundary conditions and limiting conditions of our phenomena.
Yeah. And in doing so, one of the things I think that's really paid off for us is, again, the title of the paper is The Self-Control Consequences of Political Ideology. The title of the paper is not liberals are better than conservatives, or conservatives are better than liberals, right? And what I think has really paid off for us as researchers is that this has really provided sort of a lot of new angles and new ways in which we can look at that relationship between political ideology and self-control. When is it, as Ed actually mentioned earlier, when do conservatives outperform liberals versus when do liberals outperform conservatives?
Josh, a lot of the coverage on the findings the media did, they headlined it with dieting, and I've not really seen much about the political media picking up on this. Was that a surprise to any of you?
Oh, yeah.
Frank?
We never looked at dieting. That
no.
wasn't one of our tasks. We looked at the Stroop task and the difficult anagrams task, which are kind of standard cognitive tasks for testing for self-control. But on the other hand, as a self-control researchers, we do believe our results have implications for other tasks as well, other types of self-control tasks as well, including possibly dieting. We'd feel more comfortable if we actually ran a dieting study and showed a difference. But our results at least imply that could happen.
Well, and my guess is, and this again, this is just a guess, and curious to hear what you guys think, but dieting, just like social welfare, just like anything else, I think it's less about the outcome and more about the means and the process by which you go about it, right? Do you hire a personal trainer? Do you go to Weight Watchers? Do you do it on your own and commit to some sort of schedule, right? And I think where we would find a difference is not in dieting per se, but in the means by which liberals are more successful and the means by which conservatives are more successful at dieting or any type of delayed gratification or something to that effect. But again, that's just speculation at this point.
Josh, when you were doing the research, did you share the results with the subjects and get their reactions to the results?
So we actually, in one instance, we were actually able to do that. We're not always able to do that because of the fact that of anonymity and confidentiality. But it's always fun when you can present it to a group of students that may or may not have been a part of it. And they were very intrigued. This would be the UC students. They were very, very intrigued. This one group, this one, it's about 20 students. They just thought it was really fascinating. That's, I think, the best way I can describe it. You know, most people, like, it's how you interpret it. Some people, how you interpret it depends on your own ideology, right? So some people say, oh, wow, conservative, that's great. That's one of others. Like, conservatives are so narrow-minded. It's this and that. Liberals like to think freely. And it's like, you know, it's the beauty of science. It's the interpretation's up to you, you know?
Does it bother you that the writers try to popularize science with the general populations? They try to do it with these, tying this to dieting. Does that bother you to some extent?
Yeah, I do. There's a great paper in the LA Times, great article in the LA Times, and it's just the title's the only thing that I think was a little misleading, but the article itself is really true to the paper. But it's one of those things where it's catchy, so I get it. Taking those leaps in terms of those implications, those consequences, you know, I can understand where it's sort of coming from. But again, as Frank said, we don't have data on these types of things. And as I sort of alluded to me, some of these superordinate things, both liberals and conservatives engage in goal pursuit. Both liberals and conservatives set resolutions. It's just, how do they go about fulfilling them? And I think that's where we're going to see more of a difference at the end of the day.
Now, what about practical applications for this? I mean, what can we do this? You look at Washington, where they've had gridlock, you know, going on all these years. Is there some kind of a political application that might lead to more bipartisanship?
I think one of the most interesting things from our perspective is potentially how fluid these different beliefs are. Because I think getting a sense of this root in beliefs in free will and the fact that in that third experiment we could find that we can move around at least people's beliefs and what free will really means for self-control or for other things. Understanding each other's perspectives is obviously an important, you know, goal here, that we could sort of see some potential abilities to sort of at least have people understand where each other's are coming from. And I think, again, our perspective here is that one is not right or wrong or better or worse than another. There are going to be places where particular beliefs or particular ideologies may be more efficient, more effective, and, you know, lead to better outcomes in certain wells. So we each have our own abilities to inform situations and improve potential things. It's just to understand our limitations, to be able to understand the conditions where those things might be true.
So it is kind of the old saying, it is what it is. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Does this, I'm curious about this, Ed, there's so much emphasis on free will. Is this study really more about free will than it is about political ideology?
I would say yes, from my perspective, and I think you guys would probably agree with me here.
Yes. I would too.
We're really, most, if you look at our research, most of our work studies the psychology of decision making, and this is really our first study looking at political ideology or political judgment. But we've also find that in order to understand decision making, we can't ignore self-control, we can't ignore political ideology, we can't ignore a lot of these different variables that we've been studying over the years.
And I think that the bottom line is here is that we found in our research that the belief in free will is the driving mechanism in the differences that we see in self-control. And it just so happens that conservatives tend to endorse that belief more than liberals. There may be other people out there who also, not just based on political ideology, endorse belief in free will more than others, and we would expect similar differences. Now, we can't say that until we do the research and actually are able to say that, but I suspect there are other people out there, and maybe political ideology is one important variable, but it's certainly not the only one.
Right.
Yeah, so I think one way to look at this work is really by separating it in two components. One is exactly what you all just said, and I would agree 100%, which is that this really does contribute to our understanding of how free will affects self-control, and I think that's really important. And then you've got this other side that is, well, what are the proxies of these beliefs in free will? What helps us understand who is more likely to endorse these different beliefs? And we do know that there is a difference in with people's political ideology that does affect that. And knowing that can then help us understand, as Ed was saying earlier, that can help us then understand other people's perspectives, understanding mm-hmm. when giving people and endorsing that belief in free will actually results in a good outcome versus when it might actually result in a bad outcome or something to that effect. And so I think that there's a lot of complexities within all of this, but when it comes really down to it, I think that there really is just two really nice take-home points when it comes to ultimately what the results are saying.
Yeah, I think you could look at it, at this as being there are definitely different ways of viewing things,
yes.
and they're valid.
Exactly.
They can all be valid.
100%.
So. Yes.
Now, what plans do you have to follow up on this study, Josh?
So Frank mentioned a really, really, really interesting follow-up that we're looking at, which is distinguishing between different types of tasks that liberals and conservatives might be better at, whether it be in terms of their own self-control or whether it just be in terms of their thinking styles more broadly. Another area that we're really interested in that I personally find really interesting is, well, when is persistence good and when is persistence bad? Because
when does it become hard-headedness?
Exactly. Right? Okay. Yeah, exactly. Right. You know,
there's across the line.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you could be persistence. It can be anything from whether you're so stuck to an opinion that you're not willing to look at other information, not willing to update that belief, something to that effect, to something as relevant to self-control where, no, this is the way that's always worked for me. And if anyone's ever been to a gym, this, you just look around and you will see this. There's that person or several people that they're lifting weights the way that you're just like, please stop doing that. You're going to hurt yourself. But they've been doing that for 30 years and they are not changing, right? Yeah. And so, you know, is being able to adapt and update, is that, in what situations can that actually be positive and good versus, no, when is it good to stay the course, right? When might that actually be the case? So, you know, sort of the double-edged sword, so to speak, of persistence, right?
Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for
Thank
having
you.
Us.
Thanks for having us.
From the University of Cincinnati Lindner College of Business, Dr. Joshua John Clarkson, Assistant Professor of Marketing, and Dr. Frank Cardis, Donald E. Weston Professor of Marketing, and Dr. Edward Hurt, Professor at the Indiana University Department of Psychological and Brain Science. Coming up, we'll talk about the history of the All-Star Game and take a look at this year's lineups. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.